Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you have a Bible there with you, I would like to encourage you to open your Bible with me to Acts chapter 12, and let's read some scripture together. I would like for us to look at one particular word today. One particular word. This word is mentioned only one time in the scripture. It's only in God's word one time. And I know that doesn't seem like much, but even though a word is mentioned only one time, if God put it in the canon of his scripture, even only one time, it bears an eternal weight of importance. This is a very important word. So we are about to look at something that carries eternal weight. And I want to strongly stress that we pay close attention to what the Scripture has to say about it. I pray that the Lord will reveal to us what this word means, what it truly means, specifically what it means for us. I pray the Lord will open our eyes to see this today. All right, this one word is in verse 4 of Acts chapter 12, but let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after," and here's our word, "Easter." "Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." They were going to put Peter on trial, intending to sentence him to death. But they put him in prison to hold him for a while because they didn't want to do it on Easter. They didn't want to do it on Easter. Easter was a day, or verse 3 says days. It says then were the days of unleavened bread. Easter was a feast ordinance that the Jews kept every year. And the reason they did it is because God told them to. If you look with me at Leviticus chapter 23, back in the Old Testament, Leviticus 23 verse 4, it says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." The Lord's Passover. That's what the word Easter means. That's what the word Easter translates to. It's in the scripture only one time, but that word translates Passover. Every time you see Passover, it means Easter. Easter means Passover. Verse 6, it says, "And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread." That's what we just read in Acts chapter 12. "Then were the days of unleavened bread," the feast of the Lord's Passover, Easter. Easter. God told Israel, he told the Jews, to keep this feast every year for a remembrance, a reminder of the Lord's Passover. That's what Easter is, a reminder of the Lord's Passover. Over in Exodus 12, if you turn with me to Exodus 12, verse 14, it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Verse 17 says, and you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. God said, every year I want you to observe this feast to remind you of my Passover. Every year, observe this feast to remind you of my Easter. And he said in verse 26, it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Why are you doing this? Why are you observing this Easter? What does this mean? Why are you observing Easter? He said, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service, that you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. So every year thereafter, he said, I want you to observe this so that generation after generation after generation will remember my Passover. They'll remember my Easter. And every year thereafter, Israel, according to God's commandment, observed the feast of the Passover. Our Lord himself even observed the feast of the Passover. If you look with me at Luke chapter 2, it says in Luke 2, verse 21, this tells us that it's speaking of our Lord himself. It says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 40 right here says, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Every year. Our Lord went with his parents to the feast. Verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. He went every year, and he did this all the way up into his adulthood. Even through the 3.5 years of his ministry, our Lord observed this feast of the Passover. Look with me at Luke 22. It says in verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. So our Lord observed the Passover. All right, now, I'd like to go right into the point of this message. I want us to get to the heart of this message. All right, this is the spiritual point of this entire message. I want to ask two questions, and the first one is this. What is the actual Passover? What is the actual Passover? Or we could say, what was the actual Passover? It was not a feast. It was not a feast. That is very important for us to understand. It was not a feasting day. It was not a celebration of an annual ordinance feast. The feast was the remembrance. That's what it was. It was the remembrance of the Passover. What was the actual Passover? The second question is, what was the significance of it? What was the significance of the Passover concerning God's people? Two important questions. What did it mean for them? What did it do for them? The answer to that begins right here in Luke 22. It says in verse 15, He said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. What is he saying in that? What does he mean? With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And what does he mean when he goes on to say, before I suffer? Before I suffer. Over in John 18, our Lord is on trial before Pilate. And it says in John 18, verse 38, Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. No fault. None. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Now think about this. Why did the Jews have a custom that one should be released at the Passover? Why did they have this custom every year? That one should be released and another should die. Why? Why did they have that? What brought that on? I'll tell you that that has everything to do with the Passover. That is the heart of Easter. That is what Easter is all about. John 19, verse 13, it says, When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, he said, Behold your king. Behold your king. Oh, do we understand the significance of that? Do we really understand what the Passover is pointing us to? For certain clarity, I could just say it right now, but I'd rather us read it in the Word. For certain clarity, let's read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Over in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. You have been unleavened in what this feast of unleavened bread represents, speaking to God's people. Verse 7 says, For even Christ our Passover, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ is our Passover. Christ is our Passover. John the Baptist was the one that God chose to declare to the world who Christ was and why he came and what he was going to accomplish in his coming. John the Baptist. John pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and he cried, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold God's Lamb, which will redeem God's people from all their sin. All the sin of all the people that God the Father chose to save throughout the whole world. Doesn't matter whether Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female, a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue on this earth. Everyone. Now, how did he do that? As God's Passover lamb, how did Christ save his people from certain death because of their sin? How did he do that? We can see the answer to that in the actual event of the Passover. We're going to read what took place in the actual Passover and what God said concerning it. And as we read this, let's remember that the Lamb in this Passover is our Lord Jesus Christ. This points us to Christ and what he did for us to be our Passover. If you'll look with me at Exodus 12 one more time, back in Exodus chapter 12, God said that he was going to slay the firstborn male in every house. But he said through this lamb that would be provided for his people, every house would be spared under the blood of the lamb. And it says in verse 1, Exodus 12, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every soul needs a lamb. Every soul needs this lamb. He went on to say, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Every house. Verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish. Listen right here as he describes the character and the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, your lamb shall be without blemish. And that's Christ. We just read where Pilate said, I find no fault in him. None. No blemish. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Christ is the first begotten son of the Father, our elder brother. In every house, the oldest brother died. Well, Christ is our elder brother. And verse 5 goes on to say, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. Your lamb must be slain. Must be slain. Your lamb's blood, here's the only hope of being spared. God said, I'm coming through and I'm going to smite every house. And here's your only hope. You must have a lamb. It didn't matter what the people in that house had done or not done. Their works did not play one role in this. God said, you must have a lamb. And that lamb must be slain. And you must take the blood of that lamb and put it on the post of the door of your house. It must cover the door of your house. Now, this physical body right here is our earthly house. This is our house. We come into this body and we go out of this body. When we're born, our soul comes into this body. And when we physically die, our soul goes out of this body. This is the door of our house. And God said, our only hope of being spared death because of our sin is we must be covered in the blood of the Lamb. We must be covered in it. Verse 7 says, they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire. They must lay hold of that lamb. And they must consume. They must take in. They must ingest. They must become one with that lamb. He said, he did not say, just kill the lamb and stand there and look at it. He said, lay hold of it. Become one with it. He said, the lamb must be roast with fire. Your lamb must suffer the fire of God's wrath. Verse 8, he said, they shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. Leaven represents sin. Leaven is what puffs up. If you put that in bread, that's what puffs the bread up. It represents pride. It represents man's works, man's self-righteous works. And God said, man is not going to take any part in this. Christ is the sacrifice lamb. Christ is the heavenly bread. He is that unleavened bread that was broken. And it was all because of the bitter herbs of the sin of his people that he endured this. That sin that was given to him, pressed inside of him. Verse 8 says, they shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat of it. Eat not of it raw. Your lamb must endure the fire. It keeps saying that. If your lamb does not endure the fire, there's no salvation. And the same is true concerning Christ our Lamb. If He did not endure the fire of God's wrath for us, there's no salvation. We must endure it ourselves. Verse 9 says, eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water. This work that He accomplished, don't water it down. Don't water it down. Don't diminish it. He goes on to say, but roast with fire His head with His legs and with the pertinence thereof. That means the head and the body together. Christ is our head. We are His body. When He died, we died with Him. His people died with Him. Verse 10, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. None of it shall be wasted. None of it shall see corruption. Not one piece of His body, not one drop of His blood. Verse 11, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. What that means is, today is the day. This is urgent. We need a lamb, and we need a lamb today. We need His blood right now. Right now. This cannot be put off until tomorrow. This cannot take second priority to anything. This is the one thing needful. This is life and death. This is the Lord's salvation. Verse 12, he said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, he said, I will Easter you. I will pass over you. I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. He said, when I see the blood of the one that will be sacrificed in your place, sacrificed for you, when I see the blood that one has been sacrificed, one will be set free. The firstborn that should have died, when I see that one has already died in his place, he will be set free. When I see that one worthily died, even though it was for one who unworthily lived, sinner like me, sinners like you. He said, when I see that blood, I'll pass over. I'll pass over. I'll provide a substitute for my people. I will provide an Easter substitute, a Passover substitute, a bloody victim. That's what it was, a bloody victim to die in the place of the one that I'm going to set free. That lamb was Christ. That lamb was Christ. That Passover was all because of Christ. He was lifted up on a post. And God said, when I see the blood on the post, if that post is your post, if it's on your house, if that cross was your cross, if you see Him hanging there in your sins, not just the sins of sinners, but your sins, if that lamb was dying for you in your place as your substitute, then God said, when I see His blood on you, I'll pass over you. I will not destroy you. Now, I'll tell you, that's an Easter. That is an Easter. That is a glorious Passover. That's something to rejoice in. That is something to rejoice in. And not only that, but this along with it. Every physical Passover that was slain from the time that God gave that to Moses until the time that Christ came, every Passover that died remained dead. Every Passover lamb until the very last Passover lamb was slain. They all died and remained dead until that very last one that was slain rose from the grave. God said it was a perfect sacrifice. And because He arose, all of His people will rise in Him, rise with Him. That is a glorious Passover. That is the meaning of Easter. That is what we are to remember. Till next week, may our Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.